Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, I did. So I packed it up and brought it back to the crib. Just a little.
Welcome to Ada Zayas Blog Talk Radio. Today, my name is Sharonda Arnold, and I'll be your host today. And we are going to be talking about owning your story. This is part two. Part one focused on just owning your story and all of the things that you've experienced in life are a culmination and cultivated exactly who you are today. So we are really, really excited. Today, this morning, we have a special guest. His name is Jason Ocean. He is a therapist out of the Durham, Raleigh area. He has a focus on substance abuse, and we are really, really excited to have him here today. And speaking with him, he's just been through a lot of different challenges in life and has to break through a lot of barriers. And so we are excited to have him on the call today. Mr. Ocean, are you on the line?
Yes, I'm on the line.
Okay. We have quite a few other callers. Let's chime in. Anybody else on the line?
Hello, I'm Shanika calling from Garner, North Carolina. How are you guys?
Awesome.
How are you?
Great to have you. Anybody else on the line?
Absolutely. This is Minfreya Cavendish calling from Fayetteville, North Carolina.
Awesome.
Hey,
Welcome, Minfreya. All right. We have a 404 number on the line. Anybody else on the line? All right. Well, let's just get started. Mr. Ocean, can you just tell us a little bit about what you do?
I'm a clinical social worker, and I just recently passed my clinical examination, so I'll be a fully licensed therapist. I also deal with substance abuse, so I have an LCAS as well. I've received my master's in social work from North Carolina Central University. So for the most part, what I do is I currently hold groups for clients with substance abuse. Also do assessments for maybe ADHD, any of those, conduct disorder, just different things of that nature. So that's pretty much what I do.
Okay, well, we just thank you for being on the call today. We're going to chime right into our topic, which is owning your own story. And our subtopic is no matter what you face in life, you must own it. How important is it, if you can just tell us a little bit about what your story is, what you've experienced in your life, and how important it was for you to have the resilient spirit that you have?
Right. I think my story starts for me with Dennis. In the second grade, I was in the second grade, and I actually, my father died beside my mom of a massive heart attack, and I actually, you know, walked in the room and saw my dad. So I think my journey began then, as far as when it comes down to being having trauma, and then it kind of moved into the academic realm. I was a kid that was labeled with issues. In reading and mathematics. I was in all the chapter one low-level classes. When I was in elementary school to middle school, we used to have it where I'm from. They used to call it A, B, and C. A was for all the students who were academically in a better state. B, of course, midway. C, in the lower range. And I was always in those C-level classes, immersed around C-level students. That's kind of, you know, the environment that I came from. And then going into the high school setting, I finished high school brilliant at being able to read. Out of 500 kids in my senior class, I was ranked 478 in my class.
All right. So Mr. Ocean, with you going through all of that in your life and having those experiences growing up, how did it affect your thought process and how you thought about yourself when you're telling me that when you graduated from high school,
you were in a place where you weren't even really able to read on the level in which you felt that you should have been able to, or rather what you should have been able to do.
I think it's a lot that's going on along now with our young black males and, you know, young boys. I mean, you feel insignificant. Your
mm-hmm.
self-esteem is low. I think the ability to think that you can handle rigor goes away. And just the mindset of being an achiever in certain settings. I was told that I was only good at athletics. I was only good at tackling people, and so that's what I kind of delve into. I never penetrated the academic realm until later into my adulthood. But as
okay.
a kid, struggled, you know, with self-esteem and just an admiration for myself.
And so, Mr. Ocean, when you said you followed up, you didn't really burst out into the academic realm until you got into college. Like, what was the inspiration behind you, the thought process of, okay, this really matters now? What was
yeah,
the inspiration that propelled you to move forward in taking academic?
My inspiration actually it came from out of something that I love so much. I failed. It was failure. I failed at getting drafted in the NFL at the time, and I was always considered myself as different. It's just like I have this firm belief that no one can stop your assignment that God's have for you. Not even yourself. I've tried plenty of times to stop my greatness, but God made a way. What I was able to do was to backtrack my life story oftentimes, and I started noticing things, divine intervention. Because if I go back right now to anybody who knew me or could say that, you know, they knew me on a personal level, bumped into me, ran into me, from the first, you know, from first grade to, you know, midway college, they would be like, there's no way possible Jason Oates would have a master's. He'd been a physician on his own private practice, you know, intellectually, he's stimulant, you know, and all those good things. But that divine intervention piece, no one ever equated that in the equation. I mean, and it's just so, when I was 18 years old, my grandmother told me one time, and I was flipping wood in the factory, and I just knew, I just felt the sensation, like the same way when I made that leap. It was just a feeling. I just knew that I was meant for something greater. My grandmother, she told me, she said, Jason, you know, I don't know if you're going to make it, you know, this and that and third. I said, okay. But she said, but this is what I want you to do. I want you to get a piece of paper, and I want you to write down everything that you've been going through over the last few years. Right now, everything that you've been through over the last few years. I said, okay. And she said, after you do that, I want you to sit down and I want you to circle the words that you see the most. I said, okay, cool. So I did that or whatever, and, you know, it was a daunting task, and it hurt to see some things that I saw, and, you know, and I blamed a lot of stuff on a lot of different people. And then when I really got to the core of things, I said, aha. The word I noticed that the word I, the letter I was circled, I mean, so many different times. And then that's when I made my first leap to where I realized that it's me that's been holding me back.
Wow.
It's me that's been holding me back. So from that point on, what I did was that next day I got up, me and my cousin were flipping wood. We were racing every morning. And I told him, I said, man, listen. I don't know what's going on with me, but I know this. I'm going to leave work. I left the job. I walked off the job, and I called my cousin. They took my clothes and put it in the trash bag, and I went to Voorhees College for a year. My mom never came, never visited, dropped me off, and left. And just from circling that word I, being able to identify that it's ownership.
Mm-hmm.
Not even I can stop my own assignment. I can delay it.
Right. So, Mr. Ocean, wow, that is really, really a powerful story. So what is one thing that you could tell the callers that's listening in on the first step to getting out of your own way? Because one of the things that you said was I got in my own way. I was holding myself back from me. And in so many
instances in life where we hold ourselves back from everything, whether it's love, whether it's relationships, whether it's school, whether it's success, whether it's so many different realms of possibility for us that we continue to hold ourselves back. So what's one thing that you can tell myself and the callers on the, like the first step or the first thing that you could do to get you out of your own way?
Right. The first step is saying and being truthful to yourself. Being truthful. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about that truthful, that truth that hurts, that honest truth, that good old-fashioned truth that they used to say back in the days. You have to be honest with yourself. You have to be honest with yourself, and you have to be okay with sitting there and listening to your strengths and your weaknesses.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then after you get yourself to that point to where you understand and you're making those parallels and those jumps, then you have to equate discipline.
Mm-hmm.
One of those gifts that God gave me was I'm a disciplined man. I'm one of those guys that, you know, you don't have to watch. If I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. I'm going to get up every day, I'm going to run 6 or 7 miles. I'm going to eat the right foods. I'm going to do all those different things. But the thing is, now you have to understand how to apply discipline to the right areas.
Okay. Discipline to the right areas. Right. Because you know what? We're disciplined in a lot of things, right? It's just that our disciplined efforts are many times in the wrong thing. Like we're committed to our procrastination.
Absolutely.
We're disciplined enough to be procrastinated. We're disciplined enough to always arrive somewhere exactly 5 minutes late. So how could one change their discipline or their way of being to a way that's really working for them versus working against them? Because we are all committed to something. It's just that our commitments many times are not working in our favor.
I think the first place it's this book that I read, and I absolutely love it. It's called Great Leaders Ask Great Questions. Great questions don't inform, they transform. The first thing that you have to start doing is asking yourself the better questions. The great question might not be, why am I late? The amazing question may be, what would I need to do to remain consistent? What reinforcement do I need to put in place, or what consequence do I need to be in place in order for me to be consistently on time? Because the fact of the matter is, if you heard that you will be fired 3 times if you continue to be late, it could be church. If they told you they'll lock the doors on you if you were to come to church late 3 times, the better question is, do I really want to be disbarred from this church? So that means I'm going to automatically honor that discipline.
Mm-hmm. 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 So that's really great. That's really great. So you said first you got to be honest with yourself.
Absolutely.
One way is that you should be develop discipline. So let me ask you this: can you give us ways that or something that we could, like, let's say, you know, we've never really been disciplined in a way that's going to be working for us, right? Like, we've never asserted that way of being. Like, could we try to be disciplined in one area of our life and then it would kind of spill over into other areas if we've never asserted that way of being? Because I know that's a challenge for a lot of people. Like, if somebody is always used to breaking their word and somebody tells them to keep their word, okay, I'm gonna try. But where do they really start at? What's like a little small thing that they can start at?
Absolutely, I couldn't have said that any better. You got to start in small places, and you have to almost I call it building a space around your balance, and the spaces are routines. Building a space around your balance.
Okay.
Because anything of too much could be overbearing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like anything else. So you have to build that space around balance to where You know, I'm getting this done, but I'm also spending time with my son. I'm also spending time in my relationship. I'm also spending time in my spirituality. I'm also spending time. You know, you have to build a routine or space around your balance.
Okay. Okay. All right. Thank you.
You can be, and it goes back to something that I'm currently learning about is that whole piece of conditioning. The reason why somebody can say that they're a procrastinator is that because they condition themselves to be a procrastinator. So why not state the obvious and say, you know what, I'm going to condition myself not to be a procrastinator. And the way that you do that is small wins.
Okay. Small wins. Because small wins turn into consistent wins, right? If we win in small on different levels, then we're establishing a higher level of consistency, right? And then we have more trust that we can be consistent in other areas. Bigger commitments, right?
Right. And absolutely. And to take it, you know, a step further, we're designed currently as achievers. Ultimately, you want to achieve.
Right.
So you're sending signals to your conscious every time you achieve something. Okay, that went well. And then so somebody will make the, you know, you always got to play that back. Then somebody will say, well, why do you revert back?
Right.
Well, a lot of times people revert back because of stagnation. They begin to become stagnant. I'll give you an example. It's just like I tell, you know, members of my group, of my substance abuse group. At some point, you got to get to the point where just being free of crack cocaine isn't enough. Now I got to go out and find purpose. If me not using it, it's going to sustain me for the next 15, 20 years. Because once I become stagnant, the mind becomes bored. And once the mind becomes bored, it begins to play, begins to travel. It begins to come idle. That's what stagnation is.
Okay. Awesome. So going back to something that you said earlier, when you were in the factory, and you made that decision. You had an understanding and a knowing deep down inside that your life was destined for something greater, right? So what could we tell? And it's amazing how you could have that knowing deep down inside, and you graduate from high school, and you're still at that. You have those challenges of not being able to, you know, perform in a way that you think that you should. What could we tell other people or specifically these young black boys that have these self-esteem issues but know that deep down inside that something more, that they're destined for something more? What could we tell them to help them to move forward? Because they're going to be afraid. They're going to be afraid to move forward because they don't even have the confidence or the self-esteem that is something that they really can do, right? What can we tell? Well, what could you tell them to help them to be able to move forward?
Right. Well, the first thing that we're going to start doing is on our end is stop telling them that they should be afraid. Fear. It's something that's just transferable. It's put into people. A kid doesn't come out of birth saying, "Oh, I'm going to be a certain type of way. I'm not going to be successful." I mean, it doesn't happen that way. Here's the thing, right? You know, I saw my father, you know, passed away, gone. Academically, I was nowhere near hitting the mark. I was getting in trouble. I was running with the wrong crowds. I was undisciplined. I was, you know, doing everything underneath the sun. There's nobody currently that can tell me that they knew that I was going to be successful, not even my own mother. I was in an environment where my mom never checked my homework, never came by to see me doing this, and never saw me read, never checked on me, never did any of that.
Okay.
So one of the things that we have to do is we have to get to a place where we can start. It's removing that word fear. Let's stop saying that that's what they're supposed to be because they hear it so much. They hear it so much. Oh, you're supposed to not be successful because you don't have a father in your life. Well, if I continue to hear that message, naturally I'm not going to try to reach those levels because you put a ceiling on me. You told me I didn't have a father, so this is as far as I can go.
Yeah.
So one of the things that we're going to do is to stop transmitting that fear.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that we all can do.
Right.
That's the first thing. And then the second thing, you know, one of the greatest to teach that that inner peace and have that inner dialogue. I don't think that you get to the point where you never feel like you're not supposed to be more. Like, there's not a kid right now that's 9 years old, 10 years old, 11 years, no matter how bad, no matter how bruised, no matter how things aren't going well in the classroom, no matter the amount of limitations set on them, they still feel the same thing that you feel. They still feel that they could be great, successful. But we continue to put those labels and those limitations on them. So the better question is, how do we remove those limitations? And it starts with the simple thing. One of the things that I do for my son, being honest, I think, you know, you have to as a parent, and I got a young black man myself. You as a parent have to get to the point that where we're starting with love and we're reaching for understanding. I oftentimes get into it with people because they say, well, you need to be hard on young black men. Well, if you come to me telling me you're going to be hard on me, that's already accusatory. You're already saying that I'm going to do something. But if you come with a kid with love and understanding, the love and understanding will build the rigor. And what I mean by that is the love and understanding will create the parameters that where you can put successful consequences and reinforcements in place because of the police itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That is really powerful, what you just said. You just said a mouthful. You come with love and understanding, you know, and I'm a true believer that you can't reach everybody, or you can't really reach anybody effectively being hard, but you can penetrate the heart of a really hard heart with love and trying to get understanding.
Love. Absolutely. So, love and understanding, because it's just like they said in the word, if you ask or if you seek, it should be given unto you. It's no difference from anything else. You know, you have to go into that relationship, you know, with that black young male with a sense of no matter what he does. And this is the same thing I tell my people in an essay, and anybody would know, tell you right now, that's clinically inclined would tell you that that's the most difficult population to ever deal with because they're habitual. They're tiring. They'll wear you out. But one of the things I lead with, I tell them, no matter what you do today, I love you. I just want you to be better than you were yesterday. If you use tonight, when you come back in here, guess what? I still love you, and I'm non-judgmental. Now let's understand.
Wow.
Now once we get to that portion of it, what I've had them do is once we get through to that love, and okay, then we move to that understanding, and we're asking the questions. Then we got to get organized. I often have somebody like, let's say if they, and you can use this to help as a great intervention for young kids that are acting out or behavior challenge or anything like that, to add those consequences and reinforcements. Okay, why, if little Johnny is acting out, and I had this problem, everybody kept labeling me a badass kid, or, you know, I was bad or this and that, but no one asked me what's my home life like. No one ever knew that for my 11th and 12th, my entire 11th grade year, I stayed by myself, and I took care of my mom, and I never slept. I would wake up yawning and tired. I was sleeping in class, and the teachers and everybody were like, Ocean is just a bad kid. I had one teacher tell me one time, you'll never amount to anything outside of football.
Wow. Wow. And Mr. Ocean, we have about 5 minutes left on the show, and I want to open up for questions with the callers that have called in. If they have any questions. But if you want to tell the intervention that you were going to tell just quickly, that would be awesome.
Yeah. I'm sorry. So it'll just be quick. So after you get to that point where you tell them, you know, love, 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 and then you want to go through an understanding and asking the appropriate questions. Like I said, great leaders ask great questions. And it works with your kids as well. So after you get to that love and that understanding piece, the next thing that you want to move to is being organized. And what I mean by being organized is have your kid or you pull out a pen and pad and write down, because it's just like people think that triggers happen and, okay, that person relapses or those behaviors happen that day. But those behaviors were already in motion. Triggers
okay.
are already at play. So what you have to do is to figure out what was going on with little Johnny right then and there when he cussed out the teacher. Is
right.
it a pattern? So if you get so mm-hmm. organized in your school, like one of the things I did a couple of months ago was my son we had our first meeting at school a few months ago for my son. One of the things I did was I wrote down the date, the time, everything that was discussed, all the teacher's positions, and I came right back and I sat with my son a couple of weeks ago and I've asked him what has changed with your teachers. Are
yeah.
they still doing the same thing? This and that. And I'm organized. So when I have my next meeting, if something is off, because we got to understand that for our young black boys, we got to understand that this is the documentation system. It's built for documentation. If you're not organized and document and have your documentation in order, you can't bring a fight to anything. And it works the
okay,
same way
so
with your kids. I'm so sorry, y'all. I'm so sorry.
I love understanding and organization. So now I want to open up. I want to open up the line for any questions. We have 3 minutes, so really short
ahead,
questions
yeah.
and a short response from you. Callers, you are open to say who you are and if you have any questions. Do you have any questions, callers?
Well, actually, I'm Joe Vieri. I'm calling from Rachel, North Carolina. I didn't have any questions, but I did want to make a comment. I do agree with what you said about as far as, because I have two young black men that I'm raising myself, and, you know, as far as being really hard on them, I have one 6 years old, and he gets in trouble quite a bit in school. And at first, you know, I was always reprimanding him pretty much almost every day, you know. And since then, I've tried to take a different approach. Like you said, I've just tried to be more loving and understanding. And, you know, that seems that he is getting a lot better. You know, I try to encourage him every day while I'm walking him to school that he is important and he's smart. And he's,
absolutely.
You know, a kind person, and he can do it, you know, and you can have a good day today, and he's doing that. So I feel like you're
wow.
right on that. That really
absolutely.
Does need to be done more often.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much,
Delmeria, so
for asking that question. Does anybody have any a quick question or comment? We're going to have to wrap up. We are under 2 minutes right now. And I just want to tell Mr. Ocean, we thank you so much for being on the call today and sharing your story and telling us how we can own our story and how we can break through all of these barriers. Do you have any last final words that you would like to say in this last 30 seconds before we wrap
up?
No, you don't.
Not this time.
Okay.
Next time.
Okay. Well, Mr. Ocean, we just really, really appreciate you. Thank you for telling our story. If I can just recap, one of the things that Mr. Ocean said was one of the things we have to do is we have to give our young black men love and understanding and be organized. Because they can receive better when they have love and when they have understanding. The world is already hard enough on them, and so we don't need to be hard on them too. So thank you so much, Mr. Ocean. We appreciate you. This is Ball Talk Radio, Justice from A to Zayas. Please come back next week at 11 o'clock. We'll have another show with another topic. And thank you all for coming on, and we will see you next week. Thank you.
Good job, Ms. Sharonda Arnold. Thank you for hosting the show.
Yes. That is our president of Justice from A to Zayas. If everybody wants to say hi, say hi.
Hello. Hello, everyone. Thank you. It was a great show. God bless you all. And please tune in next week. We'll have another speaker and another topic to inspire, empower our positivity for young men all over the world. God bless y'all.
Thank you.
Thank you.